Hello and welcome to the Bingeables podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Rob.
We have a special guest with us today. Welcome to the Bingeables podcast, Rob.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad you picked me for this episode.
Well, I am so glad that you agreed to do this to begin with.
No problem.
And Happy New Year, guys. Happy New Year to Rob. Happy New Year to all of us.
Happy New Year as well, yes. Did you have a good one?
Yes, I did. Honestly, I'm super introverted. Isaac and I don't really party. We're just not really party people. Sorry. But we mostly just stayed home, played video games, watched TV, the normal stuff. But I know I always get, I got this sparkling cider thing from Target.
Yeah.
That's like my way to celebrate the new year.
That's exactly how I did it. I started that tradition with the cider when I was a kid and have always done it. So I completely understand that. I did go out last year, but this year I pretty much stayed in myself. No particular big reason, just decided not to really spend the money and you know, just having to be out and stuff like that. It just seemed like the year to just kind of hang out at home. So I was okay with that.
Hey, that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, welcome to Rob from Movie Geek and Proud and Brunch with the Hallowells podcast.
Yeah, I got double duty lately. But yes, I do have two podcasts, and one is just a general movie review podcasts of old and new movies, and then Brunch with the Hallowells is basically me and a friend of mine who recap the old original Charmed series one by one each episode. Right now, we're about to end season three.
Alrighty. So since you and I both have entertainment-centric podcasts, I figured this would be a good chance for our listeners to learn a little bit about you outside of that. So what are some of your hobbies besides watching TV and movies?
So growing up introverted myself, you know, I've learned ways on how to entertain myself and not be bored. And when it comes to that, like, I enjoy video games still. I still play them. And I enjoy board games a lot, too. But I do also like getting out. You know, living in LA gives me more opportunity to do things outside because we have more sun year-round. So I've learned to enjoy walking on trails and hiking a little bit and just kind of being outside. I've had chances to go to the beach more. But yeah, other than that, you know, podcasting takes up a lot of my time. But yeah, a lot of other geeky stuff too. I enjoy festivals and conventions, expos, and going to certain shows and stuff like that. So all of that geeky stuff.
Oh my God. I didn't know you went to conventions.
Well, I don't go as often as I would like to, but it is definitely a hobby that I enjoy. I just have to kind of have the money for it.
Oh, so, yeah.
Lately, instead of conventions, I've been traveling to certain places within the U.S. that I haven't been to. And so I've been to a couple of new places and have enjoyed those. So that kind of took away, at least for this past year. But I do my very best to get to San Diego for their convention. And then there's like smaller ones here. Like they have a horror convention in Long Beach that I like to go to. Sometimes you can catch me there, but yeah, most of it is just like a money thing.
Yeah, I totally understand. I am super jealous you've gone to the San Diego one. I've never been. It's like it's on every geek's bucket list kind of thing.
I got lucky. with the way that I was able to go. Unfortunately, it wasn't for the entire weekend. I got to go the last day, which is not as popular as Friday or Saturday. But again, to be able to go in and just kind of see what it's all about, even if it wasn't that busy, was quite an experience. So hopefully I'll get to do that again soon.
Oh, so lucky. I'm so jealous. I actually traveled recently too. I just not recently, but like within the past few months, I've traveled. Isaac and I traveled to Massachusetts and Rhode Island to see my friend and her husband, and we'd never been to the Northeast before, so it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Where did you travel recently?
So earlier this year, I went to D.C. It wasn't my first time, but I had been there one other time several years ago. And I also went to Chicago for the very first time as well. So
nice.
That was a lot of fun.
Chicago's on my list, too.
Yeah, I went there for an event that's sort of like Gay Pride, but it's a different festival. But it has sort of a gay-centric sort of audience. So it's called Market Days, and a lot of people from all around the world gather to do that in Chicago. So that was really fun.
Oh, that does sound really cool. Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, where can people find you on social media? This could be your handles for both podcasts, or you can throw in your personal one, whatever you like to share.
Yeah, so my movie podcast is Movie Geek and Proud. On Twitter, you can look us up at MGNP Podcast. And on Instagram, Movie Geek and Proud. And then with our Charm podcast, we are at BWTH Podcasts on Twitter. And the Instagram, the title, Brunch with the Hollowells, all one word. And yeah, we don't have a website up yet, but hopefully we will soon. But that's basically where you can find us on social media.
All right. Well, thank you so much. So before we dive into our new binge for this month, I figured it would be nice to start something new for the Bingeables podcast. So I'm thinking we'll have a new brief segment in the introduction called Whatcha Binging, kind of like, you know, a play on whatcha watching or whatcha doing.
Uh-huh.
If this was just me and Isaac, we would talk about briefly what we are recently binging.
So what I've been, so when it comes to the fall and early winter, I don't necessarily get an opportunity to binge a lot because I focus so much on the weekly shows that are currently airing on TV. So that's usually where a lot of my TV watching goes. Binging comes in when those shows take a break. So they're going to come up to a winter break here pretty soon and probably will stay off air until next year. Or until this year. Or until...
I think.
Yeah. So, basically...
Oh, so are you watching Single Parents on ABC?
I sure am.
Yes! Okay. All right. I am all caught up. So I agree with you. I also watch weekly shows. I usually catch them the day after they air on Hulu.
Exactly. That's how I watch.
Yeah, because who watches actual live TV anymore?
There's still a lot of people. You know what's funny that you brought up Single Parents. So the show that I went to all over the weekend, it was a drag show brunch, and there was a special guest there. In fact, he was there because he actually owns the bar that we had the show at.
Wow!
It was Lance Bass.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Lance Bass was there. I think he brought his family, but basically he opened a bar up in West Hollywood, and there was this drag show brunch sort of thing that was hosted there for the very first time. So we got to go there and he showed up, and it totally reminded me of him being on Single Parents with his space camp. So I thought that was funny. But yeah, I got to see him in person. So that was awesome.
Nice.
But during the break, if I was to binge anything, I think there are a couple of Netflix shows that I am really looking forward to binging, and that's Daybreak, The Politician I would like to binge, and also Raising Dion is another show that's been on my list for a while. So I would say those are my top three, but there are tons of shows that I have on queue that I would love to start watching.
Yeah. So You season two
Yes.
is on my queue.
It's coming up.
And then recently, Gossip Girl was my guilty pleasure show when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And they announced not too long ago that they were, I think HBO was going to do a kind of a remake of the show, but in set in our time. So I decided that I wanted to rewatch at least season two. So I binged on season two recently. And I was just like, wow, this was my shit in high school. And now I'm looking back thinking, oh, this is ridiculous.
But yeah, no, I did hear about that.
That's what I was most recently binging on, aside from the show that we're about to cover.
If I'm ever editing and sort of need something on the back in the background, sometimes I'll put on Kim's Convenience on Netflix because I've watched that series. I think this is my third go around.
Oh, wow. I
just love it in the background. And so I'm watching season three again right now.
So that's actually on my list to watch list because I've heard really good things about it. There's it's not so that good. Many comedies centered around Asian families. Mm-hmm. And so that's one reason why I still need to watch it. All right. Well, we are going to dive right into this. We are here to talk about The Umbrella Academy. The Umbrella Academy is a series on Netflix. It was adapted from the Dark Horse comics series by Gerard Way and Gabriel Ba. Just a quick disclaimer, at least for me, I've never read the comics, so all of the discussion from my end is going to be show canon only.
Yeah, no, that's going to be the same for me, too. I haven't read the comics. In fact, I had never even heard of the Umbrella Academy until it was announced that it was going to be a show. And so, yeah, I think with our show or this episode, I think this is really good to get a perspective just from a TV canon point of view, because there's a lot of influence that comes in when you have history with some material, and it you might hear a different opinion. So there might be podcasts out there that might have an opinion based from comics as well, but this one will just be from canon. So I think that's still pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is also a spoiler-free preview episode. So basically, the overview that you're going to get right now will be spoiler-free in case you guys want to watch it yourself and haven't seen it yet but want to know what others think. And yeah, we'll definitely keep the spoilers away from you as best we can.
Rob, would you also like to read the official Netflix synopsis of The Umbrella Academy?
Very good. So the Netflix synopsis that they have is: reunited by their father's death, estranged siblings with extraordinary gifts and powers uncover shocking family secrets and a looming threat to humanity.
Pretty dope summary, if you ask me. So one thing I want to kind of try to answer in this spoiler-free episode is the question of genre. When The Umbrella Academy first came out in 2019, I like the show, obviously, because we're going to talk about it, but mm-hmm. It was hard for me to describe it to my friends and my coworkers about what the show is about, because there's like different genres all encompassed in one. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, like it's part mystery, but like part time travel. There's definitely some drama, but there's also comedic aspects to it too. So, my question to you is, how would you define the genre of the show to a new watcher or someone who is thinking about watching the show?
So I would say that the predominant genres that I notice here is a superhero action comedy. And yes, there is definitely drama aspects in it and other subgenres, like you said, time travel. But I would say the predominant genre that I've noticed watching these 10 episodes is that there's a lot of action, there's a lot of comedy. And it does revolve on a superhero spectrum, not necessarily the ones with tights and things like that, but just basically, you're going to get a lot of people trying to save the world with superpowers.
And the reason why I wanted to bring this up was because I w did was it hard for you to come up with this label?
Not necessarily. I mean, when you're describing a show to someone, you definitely want to give them as much of sort of an insight as you can to know what they're expecting. And as far as the drama side goes, I don't think there's enough heavy drama to kind of like take you out of this mood of excitement, adrenaline, and somewhat happiness because of the comedy, depending on your humor, which is why it wasn't important for me to say that that was the sort of predominant genre of it. There are definitely some drama aspects of it because we're dealing with a dysfunctional family, but I think most of it is told from a comedic side.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. I'm really glad you shared your point of view. I don't know. It was hard for me to define this show 'cause like I don't want to necessarily give it slap on two labels to it and do it injustice. But then as I rewatched the show recently, I realized it's not a bad thing to like not completely give it a label. It's very fluid in how the storytelling is.
Yes, I agree.
The next part we're going to touch on is the background of the comic book creators of the Umbrella Academy. So this is strictly research from IMDb and Wikipedia. So just some brief points. Gerard Way, he's actually the lead vocalist and co-founder of the rock band My Chemical Romance, and I actually did not know that for
I
my first
had
watch
no
through.
idea. No idea.
I was like, oh, cool. That's awesome. You know, like when you find out people you like or people who do one thing are actually doing something else.
It's funny that because you kind of get typecast when you're in a specific sort of entertainment field, and you just wonder, can they just hop skip to something else and be a little bit versatile? So that's pretty awesome.
I never listened to My Chemical Romance, so I'm not sure which years they started becoming active. But Gerard Way actually started doing some comic book writing since he was 16 back in 1993. So I thought that was interesting. I'm not sure when My Chemical Romance was active, but it sounds like he ha always had an interest for comic book writing. And then more recently, he began writing for the Umbrella Academy comics in 2007.
That's pretty good.
So I thought that was cool. Well, fun fact.
So Gabriel Ba, he is the Brazilian comic book artist who did the Umbrella Academy. I'm not familiar with Gabriel Ba only because of my comic book background is not too high, unfortunately. But some of the other stuff that you may recognize from him is that he worked on Casanova, Becky, Day Tripper, and also Two Brothers comics.
So when I researched that, I didn't even know that there was a comic book series called Casanova because the first thing that comes into my head is that Heath Ledger movie. which I loved. But yeah, just wanted to let people know about a little bit about the creators of the comic book series that the show is based on. And now we are going to list the cast and the characters that they play. Ellen Page is Vanya Hargreaves. Tom Hopper is Luther Hargreaves. David Castaneda as Diego Hargreaves. Emmy Raver Lampman as Allison Hargreaves.
So let me just say, Emmy Raver Lampman, amazing. I love Allison. She is so amazing playing her, and I really enjoyed seeing her on screen. Some of the other cast members is the incredible, versatile actor Robert Sheehan as Klaus Hargreaves. He is so good at everything he touches. Most people would recognize him from Misfits, a British superhero comedy show that went on for, I think, 5 seasons. And he was a part of the first 3, I believe. But yes, wonderful actor. Then there's Aidan Gallagher as number 5. Justin H. Min as Ben Hargreaves. I need to see him more and stuff. And Mary J. Blige, who is a musical artist turned actress, as Cha-Cha, with Cameron Britton as Hazel.
So, have you watched Mindhunter?
I have not.
Okay, so I watched it a few months ago, and Cameron Britton is he's not a main character, but he plays a really important supporting character on Mindhunter. And
very
I
cool.
had no idea until I looked on his IMDb page, and I was like, oh my God, Hazel was that guy?
Awesome.
For any listeners who have watched Mindhunter, you probably know who I'm referring to, but I'm not going to spoil it for you, Rob. Whenever, if you decide to watch Mindhunter, Cameron Britton does an excellent job playing this supporting character on that show as well.
Very good. That's good to know.
So we are going to move on to the next section, why we chose this show to binge and talk about. So recently, for me at least, I was looking back on shows that I've watched in 2019, new shows, returning shows, shows that I really liked, shows that I thought were kind of meh, I gave it a try, wasn't really my cup of tea, and I realized, you know what, I didn't really hear much about other people's perspectives on the Umbrella Academy, so I figured, oh, well, we should totally cover that on the podcast. And Isaac honestly wasn't up for doing this show, so I figured, okay, fine, I'll just find another guest. Someone will want to talk about it.
No, I'm glad that I was able to participate. A show like this, especially to binge and talk about, anything with superpowers and fantastical topics and plots always catches my eye. And I remember watching their teaser trailer on Netflix just randomly. You know, when you turn it on, they sort of give you sort of this featured thing to look into. And watching that, you know, I was amazed with, you know, just the idea of these random children being brought together to become a family. But again, the powers and skills that I witnessed in the trailer just grabbed me even more. And of course, seeing familiar faces just made me more excited to even watch it. So shows like that really, really come up on the top of my list when it comes to binging.
All right, cool. And then the next thing we want to touch before we conclude is, what are some of the best things we liked about the show?
So I will say that I really enjoyed the chemistry that this family brought. You know, you kind of have to be careful when you have a cast of more than 7. And I mean, that's such a specific number, but I think you have to remember that everyone sort of deserves their own sort of story plot. time on screen, and also if they do have powers, have them be featured as best as possible. And I think that they pulled it off so well in this show. Everyone got a great amount of time to share their story and show their, you know, acting skills, and of course have their characters featured as far as their powers and their personalities. But I think when they're all together, it's a great show. I also really, really enjoyed the soundtrack to this show. I am watching it, and every song that came on was, for some reason, the perfect fit for what they were trying to portray as far as mood, tone, and what we were supposed to be feeling while we're watching said scene, whether it's a drama scene, an action scene, or somebody using their powers. If it was a chase or anything, it just matched perfectly. And we'll talk a little more about that in spoilers, but soundtrack definitely stood out to me. And again, I think the cinematography is really good too, because it was very bright without being too cheesy. It kind of gave off a little bit of a comic book vibe to it too. And it was just a very eye-catching show to look at for, you know, an hour each episode.
Yeah, you had awesome points. I also want to add that the soundtrack was awesome. So I have this app on my phone called Shazam.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so if there's a song that I really, really like from any show, I'll pull up my Shazam to make sure I get the artist and the song title. And I pretty much had to do that for every single episode in this show. So they really did a great job on their soundtrack. And I really enjoy just time travel aspects in the show, whether the show actually focuses on time travel or not. And it's not your typical superhero story, which I like, because to me it makes it stand out more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those were some of the things that I liked about the show. And I agreed with everything else you said too.
Mm-hmm.
That pretty much concludes our spoiler-free episode on The Umbrella Academy. So thanks so much for listening to the Bingeables podcast, and we hope you join us on this binge-watching journey.
Yeah, remember, I am Rob from Movie Geek and Proud and Brunch with the Hollowells podcast. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, MGNP podcasts for Movie Geek and Proud, and BWTH podcasts for my Brunch with the Hollowells show. The movie podcast right now is put on hold with some retweaking going on, but we'll be back sometime this year. While ongoing, Brunch with the Hollowells is still going strong every Sunday around brunch time to recap one episode each week.
So I listen to both your podcasts, and
Thank you so much.
I love you and Sean and both of them.
Thank you so much.
Charmed has a special place in my heart, as Rob knows, and as hopefully most of our regular Bingeable podcast listeners know. It is not Isaac's show at all. Like, he makes fun of me for liking that show, and I'm just like, you can suck it.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us, Rob. And listeners, make sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Until next time, guys.
The Bingeables podcast is produced by patron Raymond G. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin McLeod.